G'day, welcome to the Owen Podcast, Atwear's podcast all about the mobile industry. And today, the podcast is brought to you by the letter L. That's right, we have massive announcements that we're going to pretend to break right here on the podcast because no one else is listening to them. My name's Keith Smythe, I'm the Android team lead here at Atwear Mobile, and I'm joined today by my favourite crew in the entire world. First of all,
I'm Kieran, I'm an Android developer here.
Welcome, Kieran.
I'm Jonathan, Android developer as well.
Yes, yes, so many developers. And?
And Kelly, the interaction designer, so I'm the odd one out today.
Also an Android developer, just for today, just so I can say. And yes, there have been massive announcements. Huge things have happened. Everybody's really, really happy. We know what L stands for. Also, some other things happen. So, first of all, Lollipop. What do you guys think? Good, bad, acceptable?
No, I think it's really good. I think they needed to do a big major release finally. It's been a long time coming, really. So, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's just KitKat actually feels really, really old and crummy now.
Yeah.
After seeing like Google do this thing where they introduce something, it's really, really exciting. They're, look at this thing. It's amazing. Like Google Plus. And they put it out to beta and it's closed the invite and everyone's really excited and it hits fever pitch and then it just starts dropping and then dropping and then dropping and then they release it. It's no one cares anymore. So I was kind of thinking, oh, this is kind of what's happening with L and Material a little bit. I was really excited about it and you get these little morsels of information going on. Yeah, I didn't start the timer. Thank you, Andy. Click. There we go. I'm a professional. you get these little morsels of information sort of just peeping out here. Oh, this will be in the support library. Oh, this is happening. And then just nothing. It's all quiet. But yeah, no, it was announced and there were silly TV ads. Did you guys see them?
No.
No, I haven't actually seen them yet.
You got to follow Sundar Pichai on Twitter because he posted them. So everyone's really quiet. You guys can kick in anytime you want and just tell me I'm wrong. Or
it's great. It's been ages where they've wanted to keep some kind of compatibility. All that 4 series, you know, hasn't been very much exciting things at all, really, in my opinion. All these little cool things that if you're in a certain niche, that's great, but generally it hasn't helped us too much. And generally we'll say, okay, look, we deal with Android 4 and up. Mm. And it would be really nice to say about now, hey, look, we're supporting 5. It's designed for that. It's perfect on that. And we don't worry about all the old legacy stuff.
How soon do you think we can say 5 and up? We'll go around the table, Kieran.
Ooh.
How soon? Tomorrow? Today? Yesterday?
Well,
a year from now?
What's the KitKat on? KitKat's on 30-something percent.
Oh, I don't think it's up that high yet. Last I checked, it was at about 24.5%.
That's fine.
You keep
that's
talking.
That's fine. We'll support 24%. Yeah.
But when can we say 5 and up?
Well, the Samsung devices, they're not getting
anything.
4 even. So I think it's still going to be quite a while.
I mean, like, I feel like we might be a bit surprised this year. Don't forget that this is the first year that Google have released a pre-release version of their OS. And all the big players such as Samsung and whatnot have already actually started their Material conversions. So I think we might be surprised with this release.
Who wants to see TouchWiz on Material?
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
I'm loving that this is going across Polymer as well, though. I think it's absolutely beautiful the way it's going across devices. It's just stunning.
Yeah, we get to take over everything except iOS.
Material Design does talk about what to do on iOS.
Is it really? Is it just ignore all iOS things and release Material? Because what Google seems to be doing.
Yep.
I think that's actually a bit mean.
It is. It's a bit controversial, but that's okay.
We're happy with that. I'm still looking up this dashboard thing. I'm really bad at doing 2 things at once. So when do you think we can say we're only supporting 5 and up? I think a year from now, we're probably there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, like, and of course it depends. A lot of the time people will look at that dashboard, which is like the global stats, which I'd say to any client, look at your own customer base, look at what people are doing for yourself and actually make that decision for yourself.
Yeah. These are literally the people that have your current app.
Yeah.
If you think you're writing a new one, these are the people that will get it almost by force.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. If you don't, you know, iOS and Android are the same where they start to get annoying if you don't apply these updates and for good reason, right? You know,
Yeah, we purposely keep our test phones rolled back to their original system version, or half of them at least anyway. It's so tempting just to hit that system update available. I just want to press you. And the Samsungs get really pokey, don't they? They just start actually just showing these big dialogues. Just
well,
in
yeah,
your face.
Samsung pops up a dialogue, and if you say, look, no thanks, it'll say, well, look, I'll tell you in 4 hours again. If you
want to, it's like, you know? Okay. He just stands there by the door.
Do you want a reminder in like 1, 2, or 4 hours? That's it.
It's almost like the Mac thing. Remind me tonight. Remind me tomorrow. There's nothing but just stop reminding me.
Yeah.
I've still got a Windows XP box at home and it still gets updates, but it's only that malicious software removal thing. Mm. I thought I was just keeping this XP box now. It's just going to mean I don't have to deal with Microsoft updates anymore. Nah, things just it's still there. It's now unsafe and I have to deal with updates. Wicked.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'll keep people updated on installing Ubuntu. So other new and interesting things. We got some new Nexus devices.
Yay!
Okay, so let's address the gigantic monstrosity of an elephant in the room.
Yeah. I might have been a bit more cheerier if I had bigger hands.
Yeah, Nexus 6, what does everyone think? Mm. Kelly, you sound like you have an opinion.
Oh, it's just huge. I've waited for this device for a long time, and now it won't fit in my pockets, won't fit in my hands.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted a smaller device to come out, maybe if they both came out at the same time, but...
No, it's that I've got what I've called the Nexus 4 owner's dilemma, where you bought the Nexus 4 back in 2012. 2013 around about, the Nexus 5 comes out. Don't quote me on years, but soon after, the Nexus 5 comes out and my Nexus 4 was still fine. It was working great. Yep, no problem. Now I'm kind of getting a bit long in the tooth. It's been dropped a few times. The battery, a little bit more like a potato than a battery, maintains some charge. And so I'm looking forward to this Nexus 6 announcement, and it's this gigantic thing that won't fit in my pocket. And I'm trying to convince myself I want it, but the price just blew me away.
I was a big fan of the original Motorola X because it was a little bit smaller and still really nice. And when I heard that they were going to release a new version of that, I'm like, sweet, okay, I might just buy that one. But now that's also extremely huge as well.
Oh, right? The X, is it?
Yeah, so that's the same Motorola X Plus One or whatever they called it, is the same kind of base model as the Nexus.
Oh, right. I mean, Motorola is Android pedigree. Like, they made the original Droid, that when Android became this emo operating system and you'd get a message and it would go, Droid. I just like having a microphone. Jono, what do you like about the Nexus 6? Is there anything?
Well, I mean...
I sound so positive. Is there anything?
Well, I mean, I do like some of the improvements they've made over the base model Moto X. The dual front-facing stereo speakers comes to mind. I absolutely love that on the HTC One, and it's really great to see that on the new Nexus 6 as well.
Yeah, it's nice on a phone especially to get front-facing speakers. I've seen 3D printer sites where I'm going back to Nexus 4 again, but the speakers on the back, and people 3D print these little knob things that you can just stick on the back of your phone so that when it's flat on a desk, it doesn't mute the speaker by accident. Mm. So you like speakers. It's a premium phone. It's built really nicely, and that's why it's got a premium price against it. And I've read some arguments for and against the fact that, this is our first really premium Nexus device. I mean, the 4 and the 5 and beforehand, really, it was all kind of, they'd made, what's the word I'm looking for? They pulled out some things to keep the price low because it was a developer phone. Mm. Do you guys think this is a developer phone this time around, or is it just, Android Silver in disguise?
All of these phones, perhaps apart from the Nexus 5, all of these phones have tried to push developers into some direction. The Nexus 4 was pretty good, except it was slightly wider than the standard. So everyone's going, okay, and it was a very, really nice kind of push to say, okay, look, nothing's going to severely break if you don't get your layouts perfect, but things will be a little bit wrong unless you do that work. And so now we have like a larger phone to deal with. And of course we have the Nexus 9 to deal with, which is different again.
It's a 4:3 ratio, yeah.
Yeah. So it's part of what Google are trying to do where, they can kind of try to push the ecosystem in a certain way.
Yeah, they really are hitting like those niches that were left, or niches that were left in the whole system. We never had this massive phablet Nexus, and there's your phone. It's so big. like. I wanted to 3D print one, but I actually think the tray on our 3D printer, its little base, it's not big enough.
Yeah, it can't. You have to print two halves and like super glue them together.
At that point, I just pick up the tray from the 3D printer and try and put that in your pocket. If it doesn't fit, then you're boned. News just in, cargo pants sales gone through the roof.
Yep.
It's bigger than a 6 Plus, and that's really saying something. Do you think people are going to bend it when it comes out?
They're going to try.
Yeah.
Doubt it's going to work.
God damn, everybody that bends anything. So Nexus 9, it's 4:3 ratio. I can think of another tablet that's a 4:3 ratio that's very popular in the market. Do you think that's kind of pushed that decision?
I mean, it's a funny decision. I don't think it's a great idea, personally. I think as a developer...
I hate them.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's hard enough to get tablet apps made. You know, it's hard enough to... There's still not enough being sold. And so splitting it in this way, you know, what was the point? What was the reason for that?
I think it feels better for games because you get a lot of games that come out on the iPad first. Ooh, I said it. And that's obviously a 4:3 ratio. Mm. And if you're going to port your iPad game directly to a tablet on Android, it would be easier to port to a 4:3 ratio again.
Yeah, but that's the same thing, you know. If you're a lazy dev, good for you. I'm not that interested in that, you know. It's just whatever reason there was for a widescreen tablet, you know, what's the alternative? You know, why would you want a 4:3? Especially if lazy devs are going to do a bad job and not actually make a new app that uses that aspect ratio correctly. You know, we're certainly going to go through all of the hour apps now and make sure they work on a 4:3.
Yeah, we've already ordered ours.
Yeah,
our tablet.
I mean, ultimately, we've only got a few weeks to get all these apps updated, and it's going to be very tricky.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we're going to have to... Hopefully, the way Android does its layouts, it should be okay. Do you see any problems?
I mean,
no.
I don't see things breaking, but I can see that it might not be ideal.
It'll be the first test because that's the first device getting Android 5.0. So November 3, date to watch.
Yeah.
Is that the expected public release date?
Public release, 5.0? So that'll be the Nexus 9. Yeah.
Ooh, exciting.
A couple of weeks away.
I've talked to a few people who've loaded the new preview on their Nexus 5 and still buggy. It's still a preview, but after this amount of time, you kind of hope to look a little way before you find bugs, but they still seem to be there on the surface.
Yeah.
I know on the emulator I was playing with it today, I loaded the emulator up on the Nexus 4 because I'm sad. Mm. So I'm playing with the emulator and they fixed that whole slidey draw guy. That's much better now.
Mm. I was honestly really surprised that they were going to release it in November. I honestly expected December. Based on the extensive changes they were making to Android.
Yeah, I mean, Nexus is usually an October, November baby type thing. It feels late releasing in December. I don't know. Nothing's supposed to happen in December. Everybody's getting ready for Christmas and then everybody goes home. And then January rolls up and then everybody's like, I will never drink again. I want a Nexus 9. My problem is the Nexus 10 is still great. So it still has front-facing speakers. It's got a screen that's really nice. It doesn't have nearly as much guts as the 9. I believe Nexus 9 is 64 bits. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
Yeah? Nice. So, I mean, it can take advantage of more RAM. What else do we want from 64-bit, really?
I mean, well, it has security advantages. To be able to say, okay, look... You can't predict where apps will be in address space because they're now in such a massive area. It's just impossible to do that. Whereas on 32-bit, you know, there's more of a chance of that. So that's one reason. What else? I mean, I guess when we went to...
It's a bigger number.
Yeah. So it does let us go a bit further. So, you know, we've got 3 gig phones now. That's the limit on 32-bit because... if you've ever done this on like a Windows machine, you'll see that even if you've got 4 gigs of RAM on a 32-bit system, you might not be able to address all that because things like your video card RAM go into that.
Yeah, so this overhead kind of reserved for the OS type thing before.
I mean, yeah. So your total addressable RAM is that, which, sorry, your total addressable memory is that, but some is RAM, some is this, some is that, which is the same case on mobile phones, on ARM devices. So taking that does let us get to 4 gig and higher, which is cool.
I mean, it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Apparently, from what I read, you can just have Dexter APKs today and it can take advantage of 64 as well. So we don't have to change anything, which is really nice coming from the Microsoft land where everything had to be recompiled. So that's nice. I mean, with the new Nexus 6 and 9 and the new screen sizes and everything, Kelly, does that change your job at all, like being from the sort of visual design UX VA type area?
It does. And so we're always thinking. So when I'm designing, I'm always thinking about, you know, those little tiny Ericssons. They're years old, but still have them. You know, what are those massive design considerations? We need to think about those little screens and the screens that can't take advantage of a lot of the controls that we're now just so used to.
Yeah, I think the Android Watch has more resolution than some of those phones.
But absolutely. Every size that comes out, there's all these different considerations.
It just makes it more complicated. I mean, at this point, are you just like, another size? It makes it more fun, I always feel sorry for a developer, an Android developer, when I see that little Samsung phone thing that we've got. There's a couple of HTC
Samsung
Wildfires.
Ace or...
Yeah, it's this tiny thing that one of the testers went out and got. Today.
It's the Galaxy.
Galaxy Pocket, that's the Galaxy one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I always feel so sorry because even when the keyboard's up on that, that's 75% of your screen real estate is now gone. If you didn't create a UI with a scroll view in it, you're stuffed. I think it's really nice that we have these new screen sizes. I just don't know if I want them, like, for my daily drivers. That's just where I'm at. Maybe if I see one in real life, the Android Mist will descend and I'll be like, I want it, it's a Nexus. But for now, I'm just going to sit back and watch, I think.
I mean, one of the interesting things that we talked about in the office was, you know, so now we have the 6 and 6 Plus, and I think... on both of them, you can opt in to say, look, I want to use that extra resolution, the extra space to actually put more stuff in. So to have a higher amount of content, a higher density of content.
So in default, it renders just as much as an iPhone 5S, but just bigger.
Exactly. So on the 6 and 6 Plus, if you haven't kind of opted in and said, okay, look, I now support the higher screen size, it scales your app terribly. And it looks all pixely and gross, especially on the 6 Plus.
Like when the iPad first came out, just direct ported over and they looked awful.
Yeah. So it's a bit nasty. Until you go and set some flag to say, oh, look, I understand what I'm doing on this new screen. I'm going to...
things might look weird.
Like, I've got a new layer or whatever, and now it's okay. And then it will render in the appropriate size. And I was just thinking how you would even do that on something like a Galaxy Note. Basically... they've made it really hard to do because they didn't want to kind of fragment that system even further.
Yeah, it does make it more complex.
You imagine if you were Samsung when, you know, first making the Galaxy Note, they're obviously a bit like, we don't even know if this makes sense. You know, we don't know if anyone will want this. We're Samsung. We're just going to make it, right? And at least they decided not to actually fragment it further. So they kept it at this 360 dp size, which is good. But now... We can't use that extra screen real estate for anything.
Yeah, it's such a big screen. If you actually want more screen real estate, you have to get a Nexus 4, 384.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or like a tablet or something.
Yeah, or a tablet. Yeah. Nexus 7.
Nexus 9.
And I think from hearing, I haven't read it, I've only heard it, that the Nexus 6 is 360 dips across as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, so it's going to just display the same things. It's going to look crisp as hell, but it's going to just display the same amount of content as your smaller phone.
Yeah.
As your Nexus
5. Imagining my mum will love it because of all the fonts huge. You know, it makes sense for certain people.
There's the market.
There we go.
Developer mums.
And I mean, I guess the reasons are you get bigger space for movies or whatever. Yeah.
We're so excited. So there was another Nexus device that got announced, and in the first of its kind. It's the, I think it was Nexus TV or Android TV? What's the official?
What was it called?
Android TV, is
Android it? Android TV is the OS, and the Nexus OS. Player is
Nexus
the...
Player, that's right. Because I've been walking around the office going, Nexus Player, like that. It's just awful. And I said I wouldn't do that on the podcast, and I just did. Deal with it. So it's, okay, let's not split hairs. It's Apple TV, but it's Android. It's, you know, it's the same thing as Amazon have, but it's Android. It's a little round hockey puck that plays TV. It's the hardware device that runs what we saw at Google I.O. It's Android TV. It's got really low specs.
Oh, really?
That's the first thing. I think Jonathan was talking to me about that before, yeah?
Yeah, so it definitely seems like one of those netbooks from however many years ago, wrapped up in a small little puck shape.
They put it through a round hole.
I mean, great for watching TV, I'm sure, but from what I can tell anyway, it's also being touted as a pseudo games console, which with those types of specs, it might be a bit interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, it's they were playing games on it at Google I.O. and across like they had one person on the tablet, one person on the Apple TV. Apple? Ooh. Ooh, look what I did. Android TV device. We can edit this, right? Right? No? Oh. So it's an interesting device. I'm quite curious and hopeful about it. What do you think about it, Kelly?
I really like to play with it. So I was looking up the guidelines this morning, and it was saying, you know, the big thing is to really highlight what's in focus. So people are using the D-pad on their remote controls, and that's the way that they're going to be navigating around Android TV. So it's really about showing what's in focus. So using the scale, shadow, brightness, opacity, animation, or the combination to show what app is currently in focus or what they're currently highlighted on. Mm. And then also with the mobile principles, so breaking text into smaller chunks that are quite easily scannable, light text, dark backgrounds. So I think it'll be quite interesting. It really goes back to basics for mobile design.
Yeah, what's that thing you put behind text if it's got to be over a picture and you can't determine the background color of the picture? Is it a shim or scrim? There we go. I learnt a word the other day. We're doing an estimation. It's scrim. There you go. Scrim. Look it up. It's good. So it says use scrims. They've got that whole 10-foot experience as well with Android TV where it kind of just makes everything enormous. Yep. It's kind of like a phone, but it has no touch. And it's kind of in an accessibility mode. The only way to get around it is via kind of either voice control. It supports voice control from memory?
It does,
yeah. Yep. And obviously using your remote control type device. And it's going to be an interesting take on Android.
I mean, Android supported D-pads right from the start. You know, some of the original phones had D-pads, right?
So, or the little scroll wheel thing.
Yeah,
that thing is great.
So
bring it back.
We should. They're awesome. So it might not be too bad. You know, if you plug a keyboard in right now, it's a pretty good experience.
It works. Yeah. I've got a little adapter so I can plug an Xbox 360 controller onto my Nexus 10, and it just everything works. You can immediately just start highlighting things. That's how I check that the control's working. I just start highlighting things on the launcher.
Yeah,
that's just great. Don't know how much. So obviously, it's going to have available all the Google Play content as far as watching TV goes. But there's always that question of what's the experience going to be like in Australia.
So
yeah, we don't really know. I mean, I'm assuming that it's going to be what the current experience is on Google Play, but you know, obviously on your TV, which sounds really good because we get things. It's not like a full blown TV experience type thing. It's kind of, there's a few bits and pieces and pockets of shows to watch.
I think the experience in Australia is going to be the experience in Australia for a lot of things, as in you're going to have to set up a VPN or something to get Netflix. You know, so in Australia, Netflix is the, I read an article that said they have the highest revenue of all the streaming services in Australia. and they're not meant to be in Australia.
How do they track that if people are using proxies and VPNs?
Yeah.
They must know.
Yeah, they know. I mean, they know.
They'll take your money. Yeah. Of course they will.
Yeah.
And they'll serve you content for it. Yeah, no, we need more TV options in Australia, and Game of Thrones needs to be in a nice bit more of a purchasable kind of packet.
That would be
nice. I think the download numbers kind of represent that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Android, Android TV, Google
TV thingy
box thing, yeah. Player puck. I'm looking forward to the hockey puck.
I feel
puck.
Like my Chromecast fulfills all my needs already.
It kind of does, doesn't it? Because you've got play on your devices.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, looking at all their partners for Android TV, I mean, they're all available on your phone already anyway. I mean, I guess...
Yeah.
Does it make it easier? Is it something you can just plug into your TV and as long as your modem's not blocking UPnP, you're fine?
I guess it's really targeted at a different audience. Not everybody wants to use their phone to watch their TV.
It's going to take a long time to try to... It'll be really hard to convince people that you don't point a remote control at a TV and do stuff with it. You know?
I actually found I was pointing my phone at the TV at first when I was playing with a Chromecast. Yeah, I have this theory that there's just this little Chromecast inside that hockey puck. That's all it is. That would be amazing. On to new features of the lollipops. One of the biggest things I've kind of noticed is they've split out Chromium WebView from Chrome, which people are just touting as just the second coming of Jesus. As developers, what do you guys think over that side
of
the
table? Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's great. we don't really do many apps with lots of web views, but you know, that's okay. It's still very useful to be able to say, hey look, this will be updated over time.
Independently of Chrome. And they really needed to do that because like Apple devices have pinning on SSL in WebView. And from what I can tell, if you want to do it in Android, it's either impossible or extremely difficult.
Yeah, we were looking at how to do SSL pinning. So to say, look, only this certificate is trusted for certain high security applications. And... yeah, Android's got many problems around that. It remains to be seen whether that's actually going to be supported in L at all.
Yeah, I guess if they want to support it, now it's easier for them to do it. Mm. And it's easier for them to roll that backwards as well going forwards.
That's the tricky one. So what's happened in the past, anything before KitKat was... basically a lockdown, like a very old school...
exactly what the framework on your phone has, kind of Chromium type deal. Yeah.
So basically, they pointed to a certain commit in WebKit and they said, okay, this is what we're delivering. And it was always the same no matter what. And then in KitKat, they went, okay, look, let's grab the latest Chromium and just merge that in. But it couldn't be updated either. So you were still locked at whatever you had. It was much newer and much better, but... you know, with Chrome, they're releasing an update every 6 weeks. So now we can start to get those benefits on Android.
Yeah, I like it. They really need to be addressing security a lot more.
Yeah.
For things like that. There's all the usual things that we already know about. They updated the material design guidelines. I probably made Kelly's eyes roll with the whole SSL pinning, so I thought I'd swing it back around.
I am absolutely in love with this new navigation drawer. Going over the app bar, really? It's going over the status bar. It's beautiful. It's big. It's in focus. You know, that tap interaction, when I tap on a row, it doesn't highlight the entire row now. It's highlighting the particular icon and whatever the menu item name is.
So it's
much more simpler. It's cleaner. It's just that simple focus right there. And
it's
a
pretty drawer.
I'm loving it. I've got it open at the moment. So Roman Urich has popped it up on G+.
Roman Urich. No Roman Urich. Roman Urich?
Yeah, from the
no Roman Urich.
So...
that means nothing unless you're looking at this.
Beautiful interaction going with the nav drawer, so I've just been staring at it this whole session.
Actually, I really like nav drawers. when they took the nav drawer out of Google Plus, the KitKat material inverted commas version, it made me sad and it felt really clunky and awful. And I kind of... so this is So that's the Google I/O scheduling app Kelly's looking at. Yeah. So that's the app that they released for Google I/O, had all their scheduling videos and everything, and they released the source code out to developers to have a look and say, this is how you write apps. We had a look. There's some good. There's some not so good, like any app.
Yeah.
There's some interesting patterns there. But then they updated it once when the developer preview came out, and they've updated it just recently now that 5.0 has come out, the new SDK, which we're all trying to download over our poor network connection today. I am passing around a USB stick. There's an inside edition.
So another change that I saw, so using the Google I/O app as the example, was having the app bar below the hero image. So you got the status bar at the top, you got the hero image, you then got the app bar below that.
So that's the action, the action bar with like the hierarchical up and the back arrow and everything.
Right.
No? Your share buttons, okay. All that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, Lord. So that's it's really like changed that. The structure of the page at the moment. So
visual designers don't Ouch. Like it.
Okay. Yeah, but it does quite nicely highlight where the fab button is, though. So you've got all your actions are all in that one place now.
So they're all together. So the hero image essentially sits between your status bar and your action bar now.
The app
and
when bar.
App bar. Is Let's it just called
language.
App bar?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm learning a new
So the app action bar is now the app bar.
The right. app bar. Is that okay. It's no longer about actions. Yeah, one
exactly,
out of...
Exactly, because we're going to be putting more things into the fab, so the floating action buttons. So
yeah, everything's a really fab now.
Yeah, it's our prominent action place now. But yeah, it's quite interesting the way they've changed the structure of the page. So
I didn't know
we
that.
Can play with it a bit more. We've got a little bit more control, I guess, a bit more flexibility.
Yeah, so. I mean, and I'm guessing that when you start scrolling that content up, that hero image is going to do the whole parallax scroll.
I would love it if it
fade out, Duvalaki guy.
Don't have any interactivity on the particular screenshot I'm looking at, but yeah, if we did some bit of parallax scrolling and maybe move the title up as the app bar scrolls up. Yeah, it just looks beautiful. Yeah. I've seen a few apps like that.
Yeah, the Google I/O app, the original version that I had to look at the code, it was very, very manual how they did that parallax scroll fade out type thing. I haven't had a really good grok into the support library yet to see if we've got something. We've written something in-house for now, but so that's what happens when everybody announced like all the floating action buttons and the parallax scrolling and the fade out and the hero images. Everyone just went out and wrote their own. So you look on GitHub, there's a million different versions of getting floating action buttons. They've updated the material design notes and things like that. So we've got new stickers, super interesting. We've got more colors from the looks of it. I saw like one look at it and went, looks like there's more colors.
Got rounder icons in there as well. They're got the bold and geometric and simple principles at the moment. So
sweet.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cover now.
There is.
I think it's just basically I've got the 5.0 SDK and I'm just updating things now and playing.
Yeah.
And I'm having a ball.
Yeah, it's nice how the OSs are starting to come together a bit more now. So it's making our jobs easier as we're designing between platforms. So now that we're all bringing in this rounded, more edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, just everything's just going simple. It's the way that mobile always should have been, the way it's just simple, it's uncluttered, it's easy to use, beautiful.
It's content first. It's like, it's all those things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just want Microsoft at this point to just go in a completely separate direction now.
Just, yeah, that would be nice.
Just completely just go Troppo and just invent something random. Because they pretty much came up with the whole Metro thing was kind of content first, remove all the Chrome and all the fluff and just have content. But poor Microsoft. I feel for them.
And with Windows 10, they're going to be going across all the devices, what we're seeing at the moment. Apple and Google and Amazon all, just having that simple, consistent design across all devices.
Interesting. That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Little side note, do you guys know why they're calling it 10 and not 9?
Backwards compatibility, I believe, was the answer. Yeah.
There's a million scripts out there and websites saying if it starts with Windows space 9, then roll it back to Windows 95.
Then treat it like 90.
So they had to That's skip 9 scary. Straight to 10. It's a bigger number anyway. But it's just like it's just one of those problems if you've been out there in the world for too long, this happens. But I like that they checked. Could you imagine if they didn't? And you go to a website on Windows 9, your brand new Windows 9 box, and it just scales it back. It looks like a GeoCities website or something. It's amazing. Cool. So, look, that's the basic roundup of what's happening. We've now got a lot of work ahead of us. Got a lot of things to learn. Once we get the tablets and the phones in, I think we're going to do a few review podcasts of the new devices. Jono's got a OnePlus. I want to hear about that. It's got carpet on the back. I believe you charge it just by rubbing the carpet on the back, and static electricity just charges it back up, so it lasts really long.
It'd be interesting to play with the notifications, the way they've got these three settings, the way that they've got, you know, the public, the private, the sensitive views as to, you know, what you actually see on that lock screen, and then having the heads up notifications when it's not in lock mode.
It doesn't interrupt
really
you.
Jazzing up the,
it is one of these things to check out. You know, at the moment, notifications aren't shown everywhere on the device. They're not shown on the lock screen, and now they will be.
Exactly.
So we do have this kind of 2-3 week window to just get everything in order.
Hurry! Oh my God!
Thanks,
scramble.
Google.
Yeah, there's a lot of testing we've got for people who want Lollipop support. It seems pretty well backwards compatible. I mean, we've got things like new runtime and all kinds of things. All stuff that's already been announced for kind of Lollipop, but now it's real. It's like this is not just real kind of. We've got the 5.0 SDK. These things aren't going to change much from here. So I'm not gonna sleep for a while. And a new Yosemite to try and run it all on at the same time. Cool, so that's all from us this week. Thank you very much. I got to do my Android podcast. I'm super happy.
We've been talking about this for weeks.
I know. It happened. We even roped Jono in for his first podcast. So Jono, you've been listening to the show. What's our Outwear Twitter handle?
That is at Outwear Mobile.
Just at Outwear.
At Outwear, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that's OUTWARE for those who are listening first show. If you're an iOS person, we talk about that sometimes too. Join us next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.